In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's easy to shy away from the doctrine of the Trinity. It's difficult. It's beyond our understanding. It doesn't make sense. And we Americans love things that make sense. And there's no analogy that works to explain it, try as we might with clover leaves and so forth. So we ultimately do our best to just kind of avoid talking about how we can have one God in three persons and three persons in the one essence of God, but we don't shy away from confessing it, even if we don't know the how. This Athanasian Creed, read every year on this day, is the closest we can get to explaining this core belief of our faith. Trinity Sunday reminds us that God is bigger than our heads, greater than our reason. And this is okay. We don't have to have everything fit into a perfect logical system in order to believe. We say that the scriptures say it, that God said it, so we can believe it. And this reminds us that we don't invent or otherwise cook up God to make him fit into our boxes. Thinking apologetically, that is, defending the faith from adversaries who might say that those early Christians were just making things up as they go along, this doctrine could not be made up. It has to be delivered. They would laugh at them and they would laugh at each other if somebody made this up and says this is what we're going to believe. But God, he reveals himself to us, and though we do not understand, yet God does, for the sake of our faith, meet us in the middle by using many terms that we do relate to. That is, we have fathers, we have a father. We have sons, we have the Son, and so forth. But there are mysteries that God would not have us understand, and this does not wreck our faith. And let's consider deeper why that we're tempted to approach the Trinity even with such hesitation by our natural inclination. Maybe it's because we're afraid of the accusation from the Muslims, fall into one of the ancient heresies, maybe to think that we're really tritheists, believing in three gods. Sometimes it can sound that way, speaking of three persons, one God. Or maybe we're afraid of falling into the other ditch of thinking of the Trinity as three different energies or modes of one God, but certainly not three distinct persons. But I actually, for us today, don't think that's the case, why we might shy away from the Trinity. Instead, when we're confronted with this truth, that means that we can't shape God into whatever we want him to be. In our day and age, we pretend that we can shape ourselves into whatever we want ourselves to be, so we also think we can do the same with God. But the Trinity forbids this. The Trinity forbids us saying that we're spiritual but not religious, because as soon as God speaks, religion is established and hearing required by he who made us, who is now speaking to us. But by and large, if you walk into any Christian bookstore in any given strip mall, you'll be hard-pressed to find much about the Trinity. What you will find are plenty of books that try and tell you what you can do to get this Christian God to make your life better here and now. How can God make my marriage better, my job better, or even simply, how can God make me better? And if those are the questions that we're fundamentally asking, the specifics about God that we just read in the Creed, they really are irrelevant. as long as he can be used as a way to get me these things I want in this world now and make me feel better about having it. But the Christian religion, the Trinitarian God that we praise and acknowledge, isn't about feeling better about ourselves. It's about salvation for eternity. Christianity doesn't start with our lives and then brings in God from the side and a sense of fulfillment. It's about God getting us involved in his life by drawing us to himself in the unity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by the power of the Holy Word. Our gospel text hammers this home. To know God is to know love. And to know true love is to know the true God and what he has accomplished for us and our salvation. For God loved the world in this such way as to give his only begotten Son. The Father is giving his Son. That's the foundation of true love. And that can only be accomplished if God is triune. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John tells us further that the love that the Trinity shares within himself is given to us when the Father sent his Son into the world to be that satisfaction of our sins, that we would have life through him. Or put another way, whenever you hear someone say that there are multiple ways to the same God, or that all religions worship the same God, or that it doesn't really matter what we believe, just as long as we love one another generically, or that we're all going to the same place at the end anyways, but not bothering to say by whom and through whom we get to that place. Well-intentioned, but they're missing out on what it means to truly love and truly be loved, both now and eternally, and yes, with salvation even at stake, as the Creed explicitly puts out there. This is the way of salvation. You can't have love without Christ. You can't have Christ without the Father and the Holy Spirit. If all we have is a Unitarian God, just a big guy in the sky who has the divine scales of right and wrong, we don't have love. We might have justice, but what is justice if we're all punished as we all should be? No, we need mercy. We need steadfast love. Keseth in the Hebrew. Love that is forgiving. True love comes from the true Son of God, descended from heaven, from that throne of the Trinity where he had all riches up there already, yet for our sake became poor, became one of us, became flesh, and dwelt among us. Born of the Virgin Mary, begotten from eternity, fulfilling all righteousness in our place that we can never attain. True love is seeing God dead on a cross, in love for you, for me, for the whole world. True love is this God-man raised from the dead, confirming that the sacrifice of the perfect God-man has opened heaven to all believers. True love is being gifted the Holy Spirit, your comforter, your advocate, to grab hold of you in baptism, to bring you into this love between the persons of the Holy Trinity, that by the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, you yourself assumed to become one with them and one with the love that they have eternally shared with one another. God be praised. When we confess together our faith in these words of the Athanasian Creed, These aren't mere historical facts about God and how we have confessed them in history. We're confessing together the truth that gives us eternal life, that allows us to speak confidently, as much as it will offend the world. Whoever desires to be saved must believe this. And it might sound like having to pass a test of right knowledge in order to get to heaven. No, don't go there. But instead, that saying, this is the object of our faith, the Trinity. This is why it is worthy to have faith. Similar to when Jesus himself said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. What we believe and the baptism we have saves eternally, period. And so to not believe carries the weight of eternal damnation, yes, and we should be ones who warn each other and warn the world to flee such hell and to go to the truth and the true love. Flee the teachings of the world. Flee to the imaginations of God. Something like 70, 80, even 90% of our country believes in God. But we are the ones saying flee whatever we imagine about God and come to the truth of this Athanasian Creed, this summary of the Bible. Flee for refuge to the one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Flee to the Catholic faith, small c, universal faith, our beliefs that connect us to the larger body of believers in Christ throughout history and across the world, that we desire to keep faithfully and firmly this truth to the end, no matter how unpopular it would be amongst others. We hold firm not because we want to be strict, stubborn, stodgy traditionalists who hate any unity that could be accomplished through compromise. No, we hold firm because it's in this truth, kept whole and undefiled, that we are truly unified, that we truly love and can be loved through our God who opens his heart and his life to us in this one specific way. And God be praised. That way that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit decreed from eternity that in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, a real year in our real time, the Son would be conceived in human flesh in a real place of Bethlehem, halfway across the world. You can still go there. By the sending of the Father in the power of the Spirit, the God who created was the God who became man and who went to the cross to save humanity, yes, to save you. We know God in knowing Jesus, the Jesus who suffered, died, rose, the Jesus who with the Father sent his Spirit, who presents us, who presents you as righteous to the Father, so that we can with joy and with a smile on our face say to our Muslim friends, no, I know you think that we worship the same God. I know you have Abraham, you Muslim even have Jesus, my friend. You even have Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus that God would have us. For our God is right here on the crucifix. That's the God I worship, the crucified one. That's the great I am who created the world, the God who came to Abraham, who led his people out of Egypt, who dwelt with his people between the cherubim in the temple, and who now dwells with us forever in human flesh and blood, even giving it to us today into our mouths to eat and drink, to fill our bodies, to fill our very lives. He is the God who created you. He is the God who formed you. He is the God who redeemed you, who calls you by name in the waters of baptism, He, in those waters, grafts you into himself, into that name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God be praised. This is a faith that we can confess, that we can deliver with joy, no matter how we think it might sound to others. And though we have our times where we profane his triune name by how we succumb to temptation and chase after other false gods, through repentance, he never takes his name away from us, but always remains patient with us, restoring you as his child in baptism and in the body and blood of Christ, a seal and testimony to you that your sins indeed are forgiven. In this holy meal, you are given life and life abundant, life that has no end. And if you're attending here today and are not yet to the point of receiving such body and blood, that time very well can be soon. God desires that time to be soon. Let's chat. I'm having a little trouble with the sound system. Apologies. Let's chat. And let's get to a point where we can indeed receive these beautiful gifts. This is the Catholic faith, and we will confess till the end of the world that whoever does not believe this Catholic faith cannot be saved. Doesn't mean we have to understand. No one can honestly say he understands the Trinity. But no, we are to receive, and receive we do. And whoever does not receive this Catholic faith cannot be saved. That whoever sees this outstanding eternal gift, or rather whoever hears this eternal gift and say instead to God that they like their sin better than they like their Savior from their sin, cannot be saved. And we pray with God that more in our lives who would say that would be brought to repentance, would be brought to this faith. Nevertheless, this is the path of true love, true life. We don't want to water it down. For beginning with our baptismal birth, that rebirth from above by water and Spirit, continuing forever with eternal life, let the world do what it does. Let us testify, though, to the world that he has been sent, that he has forgiven, that he justifies you, that he sanctifies you, that he glorifies you in his name. Let us pray, praise, and give thanks. Let us believe and confess together. Let us worship together in the body with the body of Christ, who is in complete unity with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that you, O people of God, would be complete. In Jesus' name, amen.